Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. I have played my flute and I have offered sacred fire in the four directions. Please join me in sacred ceremony. I speak as spirit moves me to speak, and I invite you to do the same by calling me at 646-595-3440. And now, Mud Toe at Midnight.
Hi, folks. This is Mud Toe at Midnight. I am your host, Mud Toe Sasquatch. Thanks for joining me this evening. Feeling a little bit distressed tonight. I had two different distressing experiences today. I'm not quite sure which one is responsible, or I'm sure they're both responsible in some way. Which one's more responsible? I had a family member who passed away today, and I also watched 12 Years a Slave. Now, which we'll explore which of those is actually upsetting me more here in a moment. But I would like to let you know that we're on withinsightsradio.com, and there's other stuff on this little network. Mondays at 6 p.m. is Iggy and Friends, and they do psychic readings for your edification. Tuesdays at 11:30 a.m. is Lunchtime Wisdom, which is a not-readings show with largely the same cast of characters from the readings show, except Mark Matheny joins them, a master astrologer. And he's often on the Monday show, too. He's one of the newer members of our motley crew here, and we're certainly glad to have him along. What else? Ananda of Love, right, on Thursdays at, is it 11? Thursdays at 11 p.m. Chief Iggy is nodding because he doesn't want to be on the air tonight. He's just going to eat his sunflower seeds. He's running the board for me because I'm actually using his computer today. I'm at Nemanja Central Command. Or no, this would be Condor Eagle Central Command. Nemanja Central Command is in Missouri. I'm here staying because we're going to the Universal Light Expo here in our lovely large city in the Midwest. I guess it's Columbus. I'm not going to be cagey about it. Columbus, Ohio. And many, many, many of our friends are going to be there from all around the country. And it's just one of those fun things like the family reunion where everybody comes from all over to, and it's the people you only see at the reunion. It's like the people you only see at the ULE. So it's a fun time. They're going to be at the Columbus Convention Center for the first time this year. So we're certainly looking forward to that. There's going to be a drumming event and some other fun things we're going to be involved in as well. So if you happen to be in the Columbus, Ohio area and find yourself somewhere near the Columbus Convention Center on High Street near Nationwide Boulevard, come by and you might just run across one of us. Oh, so what else can we talk about? How much time have I used? 5 minutes. Actually, it amazes me how fast the time goes. You know, I think I'm like, my gosh, how am I going to think of something else to talk about? And then all of a sudden the episode's over. But I did promise you I'll look into the sort of dark midnight of my soul, so I guess I have to do that since I said I would. Really, I've had three sort of distressing experiences. One was yesterday, and two of them were today. The one yesterday was I came back from work. I work at the medical school as sort of a guinea pig for medical students. And I came back, went to my car, which I like to park on the top level of the parking garage, so I always know where it is. I don't have to remember which floor it's on. And as I went up there, I saw someone had left a note on my windshield. So I took the note off of there, and it said, "Nice parking, asshole. It'd serve you right if somebody broke your windows out." So I took a look, and the car was parked off to the right side, which is something I typically do because I just don't trust. Yeah, I look out the driver's side and see where that line is because I can see it. I can't see the line on the passenger side at all. I look at the line on the driver's side, and you know, I kind of line up with that. But that always kind of puts me too far to the right because if I get close enough to that left-hand line, I can't see it either. So usually I'm off to the right, and you know, sometimes I get on the line maybe a little bit over it. Well, this time I was on the line, maybe a little bit over. So, you know, my first reaction was to get a little bit angry, maybe a little bit scared. I didn't know who this person was. I mean, for all I know, it was a, you know, like a 411 little woman who works in, you know, massage therapy or something. But it just occurred to me, why would someone take that much offense at something so silly as a misaligned car? And I put it up on Facebook, and a few people, I think only one person made a suggestion. Katie Singing Eagle is the only one I think who actually made a suggestion. She said, well, sometimes people can't get out of their cars. Well, I suppose so. It seems to me that something had to be going on there. It's not just being badly parked, to me, it isn't a reason that a reasonable person would get that distressed. I mean, to write a note and, you know, express anger in that way. So my thought was, and I don't know, not having any idea who this person is, I can't even speculate as to what this other thing that might have been on their mind. I know what might have, the kind of things that might have been on my mind. So I just wrote up a quick little prayer, as I know we've been talking about prayer, and I'm trying to practice that more in my everyday life. We all pray every day. We just don't always realize we're doing it. So I'm trying to realize that I do it. I'll tell you a story about trying here in just a minute. So I wrote a little prayer, and I said, "Is it a prayer for the person who left the note on my windshield?" Just hoping that, you know, whatever it was that was bothering them would be, that the situation, whatever it was, would be remediated. And left it at that. Now, a situation like that would have stayed with me for days in another time. You know, I would have been plotting, wait, how can I possibly find this person so I can tell them off, you know? But seeking my own spiritual development, what good does telling somebody off do? I could convince them they were wrong. They weren't wrong. I was parked off center. And I can also, you know, I'm paying more attention to my parking now, just because I'm parking. I always park in the same place. If this other person parks in the same, always parks beside me, then if I screw it up again, they're going to see it. So, and not only there, but everywhere else I go, I'm starting to look, okay, when I park, I'm going to get it closer to the center. You know, I'm never going to get it perfect, but I'm definitely not going to have the tires over the line. I'm definitely going to have the tires on the line. I'm going to get it as close to in the center as I can. No, there were some others. Iggy asked me if I was the only car there at the time. Yeah. It does get crowded. It does get to the point where it's pretty much full. So it could possibly be there, like only they've been going all the way from the bottom to the top looking for a parking space. And they found one, but they couldn't get into it because I was over too far. I was a little bit over I would have been a little bit more over in the back because I had swooped around, you know, and pulled in that way. Yeah. Which is how I usually park, and that's why I'm having to try and remediate. You know, just think more about or rethink the way that I'm parking. But it's the idea of trying to take some good out of a situation, because my first instinct is, well, I'm not going to do what that person said. Called me an asshole. Said they were going to break my windshield. Why should I do what they said? Yeah, but I said, well, maybe I should do what they said because it's actually the right thing to do. Wrong way to point it out, but right thing to do. And hey, they're probably, since it's such a small thing, they're probably upset about something else. So perhaps with a little bit of prayer, we can remediate that too. And if not, that's okay. I'm not going to own that because it's not mine. So there was that. That was a little bit distressing, but I think that had pretty much dissipated today. Now, what were the other two things? Oh, yeah, and this is sad. My cousin Michael passed away today, and it wasn't entirely unexpected. He's been ill for a while. Michael had Down syndrome. And people with Down syndrome typically, as I understand it, they typically don't live, you know, much longer than their teens. And Michael lived, he's like 47 or 48. He's pretty close to my age. He's a little younger than me, if I remember correctly. So he lived a much longer life than would have been expected. And he was always a happy person. know, he didn't see the world around him as full of obstacles, which is a point of view that I would like to cultivate. You know, I've always seen the world around me as full of gates and gatekeepers. And you can say, well, it was because, you know, he couldn't process that. Well, maybe it was because he couldn't process it, or maybe it was just because he had that attitude. Certainly, he had a more direct and probably more honest approach to life than I've ever had. And I'm really sorry that I didn't know him better. He lived, my Uncle Mike, his father, and they lived together I can't remember Uncle Mike's name. Uncle Mike's wife's name. Well, anyway, they all live in Indianapolis. It's been sealed very often. It got, you know, more and more difficult to travel with Michael as time went on because he developed Alzheimer's. This is it's all premature kind of aging things. He had heart trouble and some other issues, and it just became difficult for them to travel with him. So, you know, didn't see him so much here in recent years. So, very, you know, I'm glad that his I don't want to call it a trial. I don't want to call it an ordeal. I don't think a lot of people would. His practice, the Buddhists would have called his practice. They would have said that he was here. There was something there, some ascended master here who wanted to learn something about having Down syndrome. So that's why Michael's here. That's why he was here, is to learn about that. And it must have taken a while because he was here for a long time. Whether you believe that or not, I don't know. But I'm glad I'm glad, and I'm also sad that his journey's over and he's moved on to the next thing. I feel like I could have and should have been more part of his life. And that's something something I'm going to have to keep in my heart, and certainly keep that the hope that he always had alive in my heart. And that'll, I think that'll help me from getting too down in the dumps about it. So that's the second thing. Third thing was, oh my God, I watched 12 Years a Slave. That is the title, isn't it? Some Number of Years a Slave. Oh, and it's Iggy's fault because he insisted on watching that damn action movie. But see, here's the thing. I stay with Iggy and Susie when I'm in Columbus. And I'm sort of on an extended stay right now because I'm staying for the weekend to go to the ULE. They have a television upstairs and a television downstairs. And my usual way of watching television is I just flip through the channels and, you know, watch like 5 seconds of each thing. My hosts here, they don't watch TV that way. They do it more the way most people do, which is they pick one program and they watch it. So there's two programs, and if neither one of them is something that I can tolerate, I can like take a 4-hour shower. That's like my only option, or go sit in the car. The only thing. And, you know, God bless Iggy. He made dinner tonight, invited me to share dinner with him and his wife, made steak and stuffing. I've never had that combination before, but it's a little bit distressing to think about stuffing a steak, but I hope we don't actually do that. I think it was very good. It was good. And with limeade with it, too. It's very nice. And so it would seem unwise for me to say something that might make them angry with me. And normally I wouldn't have to worry about it, except Iggy's sitting right across from me at the desk. No, Iggy decided he wanted to watch Liam Neeson on a plane movie with the hijackers and the guns and the people. And he went, and they never picked the lightsaber out, but... Anyway, he's a TSA guy or air marshal or something, and I hung with it for about 10 minutes. That's about all I could do. So I went upstairs, and Susie was watching 12 Years a Slave, and I'm like, I don't know. What am I going to do? If I can bounce back and forth and like every 5 minutes. And I sat and watched 12 Years a Slave with Susie for about an hour. What a brutal movie. One questions the need for the brutality, but at the same time, one feels the need for the brutality. The brutality, in a twisted way, is part of the art. It's part of the statement that the director is trying to make. And I think it goes beyond just, you know, that particular issue of, you know, people who were abused at one particular point in history. I mean, I think it's a story of how powerful people have abused less powerful people throughout time, and not always with whips, and not always in cotton fields, and I can't say I got into an argument. That's not true. I had a comment, because this particular professor never actually spoke to us, but I had a comment on a paper that I'd written. It's one of those professors who doesn't like to teach, and there are a lot of them. There are a lot of professors who really, that's like the last thing on their list is the teaching. The rest, they like the research. Okay. At a smaller college, you probably don't run into that so much, but at a big college like Ohio State, it's the football or the reach. That's about what you get from some people. So I had written a book, and I had made a pretty lame comparison. It's true, it was a lame comparison, I'll admit that. But it was a PhD student lame comparison, first-year PhD student lame comparison. And she made the comment in my paper that not all oppression is the same. And, you know, in my lame first-year PhD student way, I couldn't agree with that. I think all oppression is the same. It's different degrees. You know, there's more damage done by some acts of oppression, more damage meant maybe in some acts of oppression, but I think that the idea that I'm going to take this person's dignity, take their property, take their rights, take their spouse, take their family, and use them as I see fit is universal. Through, I think it goes up and down through time, and it may be something that we're headed back towards now. I mean, I see a time coming when there's 1 or 2% of the people, I'm talking about our country, 1-2% of the people running everything, and everybody else is going to be working for the same small wage, no matter what their job is, piled on top of each other in apartment houses because nobody can afford, you know, the rent. You have to have 2 or 3 wage earners before you can have a place to live. You know, your kids will go to school if the government selects them to go to school. You'll have health care if you can get it from the government, because employers won't give you benefits anymore. There's been a concerted effort on behalf of employers to eliminate employee benefits for the last 65 years, back to the 50s. And, I mean, back in the 50s, if your company didn't give 30 and out retirement, you didn't have a chance to hire anybody good. And now it's practically unknown. I mean, I think the Teamsters still have it, and the teachers in Ohio still have it. I don't know for how much longer. But not many people still have it. It used to be a given. And health insurance used to be a given, and now that's being siphoned away. Times are getting dangerous. And maybe we're not headed back to the lash, but we're headed back to a time where we're just going to be sitting waiting for someone else to tell us what to do. And maybe you say, well, that's not as bad. Well, maybe for some people it is as bad. For me, oppression is oppression. So have I preached enough on that subject? Do something else. What else should I do? Yes, thank you. I have. I don't think I've given it a name yet, but it's. I'm going to do some ceremony for the 4 Facebook friends of mine who have passed away. And I don't know if it's correct to say I'm doing ceremony for them, because they're gone. They've gone on to what's next. But their Facebook profiles remain. And that kind of disturbs me a little bit. It almost seems to me as if we're holding part of them back by keeping their Facebook profiles alive. Now, I can't delete their Facebook profiles, and I wouldn't want to. It's not for me to do. But I can release that part of it. I can release my friending. And I'm distressed by the fact that the only way I can do this is to unfriend, and I don't mean to unfriend the person. So I'm not. Rather than unfriending, I'm disconnecting myself from the page. So we're going to have some ceremony with that next week. I'm not quite sure how I do it, because I'm going to be back in my parents' house next week, and I want to make sacred smoke, and they're going to want to know what I'm doing. But we're going to work it out somehow. We're going to make this happen. No, they don't know a whole lot. The parents, they don't know a whole lot about this drum and feather Native American stuff. Mom took me back to church a couple weeks ago. It was the 175th anniversary of our church. I think I talked about it. And they sucked my brother in, by the way, not the church, but he's going to the choir now. Said he enjoys it, something he can do in the evenings. And sing, and it's our old choir director from high school. He's retired now, and he's doing it, and he recruited me too, but thankfully I'm in Columbus most Wednesdays, and I can't go to the rehearsals. So my brother is representing the family. In that venture. What was that? Oh, okay. Neighbor's dog. Poor Bella. What's the prognosis on Bella?
She's better.
Iggy says Bella is better. Bella is Iggy's dog. Yeah. She used to do Sweat Lodge with us. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She'd come in. I mean, she's smarter than us. You know, we'd get hot and she'd leave. So maybe we should watch what the dog does. Like the canary in the coal mine. Should be watching the dog. Well, she's gotten a little older now, and she's had some ailments, and she's older now. So we're praying for what's best, praying for the best outcome, because you can't keep them around forever as much as you'd like to. We kept our dog around just way too long, and I think it was mostly because of me. Mom and Dad didn't want to put her down because they're afraid. Well, can't say that this was an intuition on their part. I'd told them that I didn't want to put her down. Well, there was one time before that she got really ill, and my mother was suggesting they put her down. I got very, very angry. So they just didn't say anything. And finally, it just got more and more abundantly clear that it had to be done. So my father took her, and it was very sad. I couldn't sleep that night. I wrote a piece about it. And I took it. I was teaching school at the time. I took it with me. And these were, they were in residential treatment for drug addiction. Teenage boys who were drug addicts, mostly drug dealers, or had committed other crimes. You know, they didn't care about me being there. They just put in there 90 days so they didn't have to go to jail. So it was a constant challenge to find something, to reach to get them to read every day. You want to get them to read something. Car magazine, newspaper, something. So I brought them this little story I'd written about my dog, and it connected with every single one of them. I had never, ever, ever brought anything into my classroom that connected with every single person in my classes. Everybody had a pet that they loved. Wasn't always a dog. So what I said was I had them read mine, and I asked them to write something about a pet that they had once had. And I told them it didn't have to be a dog. It could be any pet. If you never had a pet, write about somebody else's pet. If you never knew anybody who had a pet, make something up. What pet would you like to have? You know, anything. And every single one, I mean, a guy who never wrote, guy who'd been there 2 years, never wrote a word, wrote a few lines about a pet. That's amazing. High point of my career as a teacher. When I started teaching, I was atrocious. And I worked my way up to below average. And I was shooting for mediocre at the time I quit. Yeah, just cough and ruin my joke. That's okay, Iggy. Oh, thank you. Hey, no. So anyway, how much time do I have left?
Keep going. You're almost there.
I'm almost there. The marathon is ending. I have... my therapist has given me a homework assignment. Who? Introduce myself to three people, preferably women, but they don't have to be. This is to get me over my painful shyness. You can tell how painfully shy I am, right? Yes, with people I am painfully shy. I will just do it. You'll find me in a corner somewhere, probably at the ULE. Well, see, that doesn't count because I know a lot of those people. So, you know, I'll feel better. Are they going to have a salmon dollar? You know if they're going to have a sand mandala?
Salmon?
Sand mandala?
Yeah, I'm sure they use
it. This is the Buddhist monks come and make this very elaborate sand painting. And then when they're done with it, they destroy it. Because the point isn't to have the painting, it's to make the painting. I don't know. I don't know.
Kind of like a relationship, huh?
Yeah. Oh, and I told you I was going to tell you the thing about trying, too. I had a meditation teacher who'd was sitting in a session, and she told one of the other students to do something as an exercise. And the student said, I will try. And the teacher said, do me a favor. He says, is there a pencil somewhere nearby? She said, yes. She said, pick up the pencil. Or no, she said, I'm sorry, I'm telling the story badly. He says, try to pick up the pencil. And so the student picked the pencil up. And the teacher said, no, you picked up the pencil. What I told you to do was try to pick up the pencil. The idea being that if you try, you say you're going to try, you're probably not going to do it. You'll probably scratch and claw at it and then say, well, that was too hard, I'm not going to do that. So rather than saying you're going to try something, one should affirm, I am going to do something, I'm going to accomplish it. And I've tried to keep that in my mind. See, I just said it. It's a manner of speech. We sort of surrender. We sort of surrender to failure in our speech. It's part of. It's built into our. Built into our language. The language that the overlord, the economic overlords, have approved, and given to us through the public schools, which we call the public schools. Incorrectly, they're actually government schools. And we're going to get to whether the governments are going to be enforcing that sort of ownership more and more, I think. Unless what? I don't know. I'm not smart enough to know that. It's just not. Just get me a girlfriend and I'll just shut up. Okay? Give me a girlfriend, I'll shut up and go away. I'll still do my show, so you guys can still listen to me. I'm talking to the overlords now. Not that they have anything to fear from me, but if I'm irritating you in any way, you don't owe me to anymore. Just get me a girlfriend. And that's it. That's all I need. All right, so any closing thoughts? Yeah. Girlfriends are good. No, my therapist says this is supposed to be what it's going to lead to is sometimes she's going to give me an exercise and I'm going to have to pick out the most attractive woman in the room and introduce myself to her. So it's just, I know it's easy for you because you're chief hoop watcher. It's the round jelly bean of love. Okay, where are we at? 10 seconds. Okay. Thank you for listening to everybody. Have a great week, and I will talk to you next week. Have a good evening.